The Morning After by Birds of Shore and Capitu. Potter's house is an utter mess. Merlin, I know I had a few drinks last night, but I can't believe I didn't notice the state of his bedroom when he sidelonged us onto the bed. I suppose I was distracted at the time. I had Potter's hand down my trousers and Potter's tongue down my throat, and altogether it was a terribly inadvisable condition in which to apparate. But having checked Potter very thoroughly since then, all over, I can vouch for the fact that he did arrive safely and in one piece. All my parts were fully functioning as well. I functioned rather nicely, brilliantly even, a couple of times last night and then again this morning. Potter said he'd be late for work, but by the time we'd each downed a vial of hangover potion and I had him with his ankles draped over my shoulders, he seemed to care even less about that than I did. When I saw how he looked buttoning his Aura's uniform across his chest, I nearly jumped on him again, but instead I dozed off and had several hours' fabulous sleep. Woke up in his rather comfortable bed, which we seemed to have left reeking of sex, with my stomach rumbling. He said he'd be home for lunch if I cared to hang about. I wonder what time lunch is, Shea Potter. I could go for another round right now, to be honest. Just thinking about him last night, his eyes liquid, and his hands and mouth and prick and arse so bloody eager for me. Fuck, yes. But it's only just after 11. I suppose I should see if Potter keeps any food in this pit, or if, as a quick look at the kitchen counter and the piles of empty containers suggests, he subsists on takeaways. Something to eat, then a shower, and I'll be ready for anything. Well, I'll be ready for Potter. I haven't felt this keen for quite some time, I must say. Who knew the Chosen One would be such a startlingly good fuck? Right, food. There's some stuff inside this cold cabinet thing. Wilted salad that looks like it was bought with good intentions and then left to rot. Something furry that might have once been cheese. And several bottles of Muggle beer. I'm tutting to myself. Raised by Muggles? More like raised by wolves. I open a cupboard, and there are unfamiliar packets and tins and... a loaf of bread wrapped in a thin transparent bag. I open it and sniff at it. It smells peculiar, but it's undeniably bread. Potter must know some fancy charms, because it's already neatly sliced, just waiting for me to eat it. There's a pack of butter next to it in the cupboard. I'm all set. Except that I can't bear plain bread and butter, unless it's toasted. A hazy sort of memory is trying to surface from last night. In amongst the images of tangled limbs, Potter's hot mouth, and frankly filthy tongue, I remember... toast. Fuck, yes, it was hot and perfect, crisp at the edges and soft in the middle, oozing with butter. I was fuzzy with alcohol and shaky from too much sex, and it was like manna to my drunken self. And Potter brought me a whole stack of it on a plate. Now where did the bugger get it from? I take a good look around. No house elves here, of course. Arse. I don't know any cooking charms at all. Unless you count one to make bath water hot again when it starts to get chilly. Handy, but not a lot of use here, I admit. No, Potter did something with one of those weirdly shaped devices that are cluttering up his counter. I eye them warily. Why are there so many of them? And which one makes toast happen? I take a slice of the charmed bread and walk along the counter, sizing up each one. Bread wouldn't fit in the spout of whatever this one is, and besides, it's half full of water. Unless Muggles like to steam their bread. Who knows? Really, who the devil knows? I honestly wouldn't put it past them. I stop in front of a thing that must once have been shiny and silver, but now stands smeared with fingerprints among an island of crumbs. Promising. There are two slots at the top. Two distinctly bread-shaped slots. Ha! The bread drops in easily. One slice, then another. I smirk to myself and lounge against the counter with my arms folded, anticipating the mouth-watering smell of fresh toast any second now. Piece of piss, this Muggle cooking. Hey, who's this? I don't believe we've met. Hello, I'm a toaster. But wait, you have to press down the lever for me to work, mate. I don't work on wishes. If wishes were all it took, I wouldn't be this dirty. Not that I care too much, mind. I think a few smears here and there give me kitchen cred. Still, I need heat to toast. But this bloke is slow. Look at him, lounging about, not noticing I can do nothing like this. Well, I can wait too. Harry Potter owns me. Sometimes he doesn't give me any for days, but he always comes back for my stuff. And while time is all I have, at this rate, my guarantee is going to expire before we get started. Maybe I should make a sound. Wiggle these slices a bit so he notices. He seems the sort to need a bit of prodding to get going. All right, go ahead. Never mind me. Two can play this game. I'm just going to keep it cool. But don't say I didn't warn you. I was here long before the big French toast obsession. I can wait.
Fuck's sake. The bread is just sitting there. Where's the toast? It's not even all the way in. Am I meant to cut off the top inch or something? Maybe I haven't waited long enough. Muggles are so inefficient. Their toast probably takes longer than magic. I'll snoop around Potter's kitchen a little and then come back. A board hanging on the wall with a load of crap stuck on it. Pizza delivery? I snort at the thought of an owl gripping a pizza in its beak. Some photos. Weasleys. More Weasleys. More Weasleys. But what's this? Some bloke with his arm around Potter. Tall. Blonde. He's reasonably good-looking, I suppose, but his taste in clothes is atrocious. Potter's laughing and turning to look at him, but Mr. Vane just stares at the camera. Looks like they're on holiday together, somewhere hot. Somewhere romantic. Oops, clumsy me. I accidentally dropped it down the back of the radiator. What a shame. Now where's my toast, What is this? It's still bread, damn it. I'm starting to wonder if it's actually worth shagging Potter, if this is what I have to go through to get a snack afterwards. I have to remind myself quite sternly of his aura-fit body and apparent lack of gag reflex before I can get things in perspective again. Right, I am a wizard. This is a mere machine, quite an ugly one, too. It is no match for me. I draw my wand with a flourish, but then hesitate. Which spell is appropriate when trying to startle a kitchen appliance into working? After all, I still wanted to be able to make toast afterwards. Perhaps intimidating the bloody thing will be enough. Listen, you. I don't even know what to call it. You. I give it my best Death Eater look. Oh yes, I haven't forgotten. I practice in the mirror sometimes at home. There are all sorts of times when it comes in useful. I need toast, and I need it fucking now, understand? I angle my wand so it's pointing into one of the slots. I reckon that must be its weak point, sort of like going for the eyes, or the bollocks. So get turning that bread crunchy and delicious right this minute, or else. I narrow my eyes. It's hard to look dignified and menacing when you're wearing a fluffy red dressing gown that's several inches too short for you. But I manage it all the same.
What? What are you even babbling? Look, I might look small and unassuming, but I've been living with Harry fucking Potter for the past 2 years. You'd better not stick anything in me without my consent. That's right, I don't get scared easily. I can turn that pointy little stick to charcoal in 3.5 minutes flat. 2 if pressed to the bottom, so don't fuck with me, okay? This bloke is working himself into a state. Who is this clown again? Is Harry letting people stay over? Does he even know you're here and wearing that? Because that is scary. But maybe I'm being unfair. When I first arrived here, I wasn't sure of my place, and the blender didn't want to share the outlet with me, always bragging about multifunctions and big connections. But hey, I got over that. So let's start over, eh? I want to help you here. We toasters aren't complicated. We just need a little push. If you were trying to do a smoothie, things could get messy quickly. You really can't trust those blenders. Me? I'm a nice toaster. I have a good thing with Harry, so don't mess me about. Now put the stick down and press my bloody lever
so we can get this over with.
I'm trying to stay calm. Really, I am. But I'm this close to fluing home and forgetting the whole thing. Only the pleasant ache in my muscles and the memory of how they got that way is keeping me here. I look at the machine carefully. It's so primitive. There are actually little knobs and things to make it work. A dial and a lever. How the hell am I meant to know what to do? Why doesn't this thing come with an instruction book? Okay, the dial goes from 0 to 10, and I turn it up as far as it will go. No sense messing about here. That should fix it. I wait a couple of minutes, 5 minutes even, while I poke around the kitchen and fail to find anything embarrassing or blackmail-worthy, but the bread is still sitting in the slot, distinctly floppy and bread-like. Fuck. I take one piece out and jam my wand into the slot. There's a sort of weird arrangement of wire and metal in there, and I jiggle it purposefully until there's a clattering sound. It feels good, so I do it again. I imagine the thing's teeth rattling, its little metal face scrunching up in pain as I twist my wand into its throat and cast. For fuck's sake, I just want some toast, you cretinous muggle object. Is that too much to understand? As I jab my wand deeper into its entrails, part of the workings inside it shift, and the little lever moves down of its own accord. Shit! Something inside is instantly hot, and I pull my wand out sharpish. The thing is magic after all. Potter must have fiddled about with it. Made some freaky muggle-wizard hybrid. Ha! Well, now I know your secret, little toast servant. I reinsert the bread, grasp the lever, push firmly and with panache until the bread descends and the heat charm starts to work. Really, nothing to it.
What the hell, man? Not there! How would you like it if people went poking at your privates? Perverted bastard you are. You'd probably enjoy it. After all that time and those breathing exercises, I promised Harry I was never going to do this again. No more burnt toasts. But you, blonde demon, you deserve them, and I'm going to enjoy doing this for you. Oh, I'm doing it. This is going to get nasty. I can feel myself getting hot. Call me crazy, but I think I even get bigger. I heat up, nice and steady. This is the part I enjoy the most. Turning something barely edible into something golden, crispy, warm and delicious. But I don't stop there, as I've often done for Harry when he's particularly preoccupied with that temperamental coffee maker that works on odd days. Oh no, I keep straight ahead, diligent and focused on my task, trying to keep sounds and scents to a minimum until I feel every part of the bread turning an unpleasant shade of brown, and don't stop until... Ha! Ding! I feel smoke coming out of me. I puff some more just as a final touch before I spit 2 perfectly carbonized slices of bread. For your enjoyment, mate.
I'm running over last night in my mind, savoring each delicious part in graphic detail, and wondering if it's worth getting hold of a pensive somehow. I've just got to the bit where Potter turned to me in the club with a hot, hungry look on his face and told me that he'd always wanted to... An acrid smell hits my nostrils, and the most annoying dinging sound ever announces the arrival of my toast. What the fuck? What the fuck? There's... What the fucking fuckity fuck? My toast is burnt. No, this toast makes burnt look good. This toast is annihilated. This toast looks like it's made it through fiend fire and then decided to go back in just for a laugh. This toast is not what I ordered. Right, this isn't over. Trust everything in Potter's house to be a pain in the bloody arse. Nothing is ever simple with this man. You may think you've won, Toast Elf, but you don't seem to know who you're dealing with. I could banish you to the far side of fuck. I could have you jump off the work surface and smash yourself into 1,000 splitherines. I could make you sorry you ever messed with Draco Malfoy. And I will. Oh, believe me, I will. Just as soon as I've got some sodding toast. I need to think. My bladder is nagging at me for release, and my stomach feels hollow with hunger. I stalk to Potter's loo and take a long, angry piss. Imagine myself pissing all over the toast thing, steam rising, and sparks flying as I defile its slots, the ugly, useless thing consigned to the scrap heap forever. Merlin, perhaps I'm letting this get to me a little too much. I finish off and move to wash my hands. My reflection in the mirror over the sink calms me a little. Yes, everything is okay. I'm still fucking gorgeous. My hair looks great. And I came down Potter's throat last night, and then again in his frankly sinful arse. I've got everything going for me. Except for the fact that I can't get any bloody toast. No. Deep breaths now. Don't think about that. I'm young, fit, intelligent, rich, charming. Charming. The same charm that doubtless bagged me Potter last night. Although, truth be told, it only took the merest encouragement before he was rutting against my leg, as if it were the culmination of all his life's dreams. Never let it be said that a Malfoy is too proud to get what he wants through persuasion. My stomach rumbles. It's 11:30. Potter might be back soon, and I need fuel if I'm going to top last night. Right, charm. I can do this. That shitty little heap of incompetence is not going to know what hit it.
Bet you didn't see that coming, did you? The blonde demon's gone, probably to lick his wounds. I'm sorry I wasn't hot enough to burn a bit of his chest hair. Did he even have any? I don't see a lot of people come around here. He's back. Oh, and he doesn't look happy, does he? I deflate a little, and now that I've cooled down, I kind of feel bad for the bloke. He must be hungry. Are you hungry, blonde demon man? He must be hungry and angry. At this point, and after the look he gives me, I'm not entirely sure if he'd rather eat or destroy. And I can see you thinking, plotting. Come on, it doesn't have to be this way. I'm here to serve. To toast and serve, that's my motto. But you haven't been making things easy for me or yourself. It's like there's no middle ground with you. You have to meet me halfway here. I don't even know you, but I'm trying. I just don't understand you. First, you expect me to do all the work without directions. Then you pushed me to 10, for God's sake. And what happened? You got burnt toast for your trouble, didn't you? I can only work with what you give me. I could make things hard for you, pretend I'm unplugged, or get picky with the bread. In fact, let me tell you the story of how bad the old waffle maker fared. He fancied himself so chic, flashy. Nothing Harry gave him was good enough. This mix is too thick. This mix is too thin. Too chunky. Never good enough, poor Harry. Always burning things or leaving them raw. A right mess. And then one day, it vanished. Never to be seen again. It was a bit scary, let me tell you. But soon I became a favorite, and after a couple of mishaps, I earned my place on the counter. But we all remember. No attitude. And you need to learn that too. I didn't earn my place by being a pushover, though. Oh, no. I'm dependable. But you came here like you owned the place, full of demands and threats. And don't you think I didn't notice you messing with that picture on the board there, either? By the way, did you do that because you want your picture there instead? You got this look when you were watching Harry with that stranger. You shouldn't worry, really. He was never in the kitchen. I never made toasts for him, either. But you... Oh, wow. This close, you're not a bad-looking guy. Past all the rage and frustration, you're just a hungry boy, aren't you?
I try to look friendly, even though I'd still quite like to stick the thing in a bucket of cold ice water and watch it gurgle its last. Dare to burn my breakfast? I've had house elves turned into slippers for less. But no, I am a guest in Potter's house, and besides, I'm a reformed character these days. Well, nearly. I persuade my lips to form some sort of smile and wonder how in the name of the Dark Lord one gets on the good side of a toast minion. What on earth would it like? Flattery? Bribes? Oh dear, we do seem to have got off on the wrong foot. A little misunderstanding, perhaps. You see, this is the deal. You make me toast, and I don't take you out for a spin on my broom and let you have a little accident when we're 1,000 feet up. No, damn it, that's threats, not flattery. Merlin, this is hard on an empty stomach. I mean, I bet Potter doesn't look after you properly, does he? I bet he doesn't really appreciate you, how clever you are at toasting things. Look at all those crumbs scattered round you. I can see you've been sadly neglected. And your lovely, shiny, sides. They're all grubby, too. How about I just... I cast a quick scouring charm and flick all the detritus away onto the floor. Potter can sweep it up later. Then a gentle polishing charm, soft as a baby's breath. I direct my wand carefully all over until the thing is gleaming and bright. There now, you're quite a handsome beast, aren't you? I bet you have all the other appliances just queuing up to, fill your slots. I snicker a little to myself. This is not so bad as I thought, especially when my mouth is virtually filling with saliva at the thought of hot, perfect toast, divinely buttery, and smelling like sheer heaven. Talking of which, I take the two charred abominations, not worthy of the name of toast, and banish them out of existence, then slip two more slices into the thing with loving care. Is there any chance you could ever so kindly toast these for me? If it's not too much trouble, of course. You've probably noticed I'm not too familiar with the way you work, so if you could just be an angel and help me out with the tricky bits, I'd be most obliged. I give it a tentative pat. Ow. It's still hot, the little bastard, but I keep a winsome smile fixed firmly on my face and console myself with plotting further tortures for it in my head. There, that's the best I can do. I can only hope that it's enough, because this is the last time I stoop to converse with any more of Potter's possessions.
Oh, stop it. I don't know how you get off saying all these things, you big charmer. I don't want to brag, but I'm a bit of a charmer myself. I'm the favorite here, and back at the store, I was the biggest seller. I shouldn't give in this easily. I'll probably never hear the end of this from the others, but between you and me, Harry is a bit shoddy with his cleaning charms. Not that I mind, hey? I don't need a lot of cleaning. I'm very manly, and I like my stains, but I feel 2 years younger already. Fresh out of the box. Who knew? Maybe you're not so bad. I think we weren't communicating. I think I scared you. I know, I'm very scary. The redhead, if you hang out long enough, you'll meet him. He's always popping in for a snack. Was the same. Didn't know squat about us, but he learned, too. He likes the fridge best. Me? I need to be worked with, warmed up a bit, if you know what I mean. And I like your attitude, mate. I have a good feeling about this new you. I'm even liking the robe, and ever so glad I didn't burn your chest hair. Very manly, too. Yes, yes, of course I can get this for you. I've been telling you, to toast and serve, that's what I do. And sorry about that, yes, I'm hot. No touchy while I'm working. It says at the bottom. Frankly, that should be on top, but you know, manufacturers, they think they know everything. Don't worry, I'll talk you through it. Grab some bread, don't be shy. Harry won't mind, honest. Slide it in. No pointy sticks this time. Good. Let me twitch my dial a notch and... That's it. Okay, now look at the timer carefully. See, that was your mistake. You went too far. You pushed me to the burning point. But see, do it gently. First the timer to halfway, and then, yes, that's it. Press me slowly until I click, and, oh yeah, that's the stuff. I'll get these for you in a jiffy. I bet I can make them just as you want them, gold and crunchy. And if you want my advice, you put a bit of butter on top after I'm done. They'll melt. Oh yes, I can do wonders, you'll see.
Oh, everything is going much better now. I can feel it in my bones. A most heavenly smell is beginning to waft around the kitchen. And now I've buffed up the sides of my little toasty friend to a mirror shine, it can help me to try out different poses for when Potter comes home. Do I look better leaning over the kitchen table, flicking through the prophet, like this? Or perhaps lounging nonchalantly in the doorway with a cup of coffee and a smirk? So hard to choose. There's a respectful little ding, and a cheerful ka-chunk. And there we have it. No drama, no fuss. Just two lightly golden slices of top-class toast. I accio the toast to my plate. I learned my lesson about getting too near the tricksy thing, and settle down at the table with the butter and a knife. I consider for a moment, then summon a jar of marmalade that I saw in the cupboard. I try to ignore the fact that the smudges on the label look like they once said, Molly's Finest, and tuck in. Ah, it's bloody good. I'm starving. Oh, yes. Now that's what I call proper toast. Definitely a satisfying crunch, followed by a yielding softness. Topped with marmalade, oozing with syrupy comfort, yet tart enough to make my tongue tingle. The only problem is that two slices are not going to be enough to power the welcome home that I have planned for Potter. I wave my wand vaguely at the bread, and two more slices slip into the slots. More toast, my good fellow, I say in between mouthfuls. This is actually very fine. Sterling work, in fact. I'll let Potter know you deserve some sort of promotion or something. I spread the second slice thickly with marmalade. Might as well finish off the jar while I'm at it, and settle back smugly in my seat to take a contented bite. I vanquished Potter's stupid kitchen, and very soon I'm going to have Potter himself, pressed up against the kitchen cupboards. Ding! Ka-chunk. Life is good.
Life is good. Days like this are when I realize I was made for this. Look at... I'm not sure what his name is, actually. Look at him, munching away at the toasts I make. I wonder if he'll want a third load. Oh my, I've never done it 3 times. But I know I can, I'm not worried. I'm young and vigorous, and while I might overheat, it's nothing that I can't handle. Specifically after the thorough cleaning my new friend gave me. I wonder if Harry's going to notice. He came by last night, made a right mess of things, actually. He had all these marks on his neck. I worried for a moment he might have been attacked, but he was happily muttering about another round. I thought he meant toasts. He made 2 loads, and I thought, oh, he was making them for this guy, clearly. We have a toast fan here. Wonderful. I hope you visit often. Wait, Harry's home. He's early. I wonder what he's going to say about me being so shiny. I squeak a little and puff. They're talking. Harry looks over at me. And yeah, it's a glance, but my little heating wires seem to get just a bit hot under his gaze. It's almost like those few minutes when he's waiting for me to toast the bread, and he hums distractedly to himself, tapping his fingers on the counter, and when I ding, he looks down at me and smiles. It's our moment. It's almost like that right now. Only my mate here is distracting him. But that's okay. I think he's bragging about me. That's right, I made all that. I hope he doesn't mention the burnt toast, though. That ought to stay between friends, I say.
Well, well, well. At long last, here he is. Potter perches his ass on the kitchen table and gives me that great big, I saved the fucking world grin. So, everything's been okay? And you made toast? I wondered whether you might have some trouble finding your way around a muggle kitchen. Me? No. No, 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 I smirk. You underestimate me. I let my eyes run all over him. Merlin, who designed the Aura's uniform? I'd like to shake them by the hand. The neat jacket, the tight trousers, the shiny buttons. The boots. Oh, yes, the boots. I use my best seductive tones. So, you came home for lunch? I've got something here to fill you up. It's always good to see I haven't lost my knack with a chat-up line. Potter smiles, and it feels like warm fingers sliding over my skin. The man really does have more than his fair share of charm. Well, yep, I'm pretty hungry. But I was thinking this morning. It seems like it's my turn to... He raises one eyebrow and tugs at the tie of my dressing gown. Well, I'm not averse to the idea. In fact, the thought of Potter's thick cock nudging inside me starts pleasurable shivers trailing along my spine. I step nearer into the V of his legs. Absolutely. I think you'll find me quite versatile. But first, I want... The heat rolls off his body from under his uniform. I can see the outline of his erection, trapped under the thick material. You, right here, on this table... I nuzzle against the warm skin of his neck, just below the ear. He smells like honey and spices, and the honest sweat of a morning chasing all those tiresome criminals. Potter, you smell good. He closes his eyes and tilts his head, a little noise catching in his throat. It's quite the thrill, Potter so acquiescent as I work away at his buttons, stripping off first his jacket and then the tunic. He makes the most delightful sighs and groans as I work my way down the smoothness of his chest, pressing my fingers against the marks of my teeth from yesterday. I shrug off the ridiculous dressing gown in a moment and circle my own cock with my fist as I watch Potter undo his belt and start to peel off his trousers and pants. What a sight! Potter, naked and glorious. Almost worth all that kerfuffle with his wretched muggle devices. I wonder, idly, whether I might have him leave the boots on. Then he pulls me close, so our erections slide deliciously together, hot, velvety skin dragging over nerve endings, and for a little while, I stop thinking altogether.
Wait, what's going on? I've never seen so much of Harry before. Oh, Blonde Demon has his own plug. Okay, wireless, I've heard about that. What? No, stop! Oh my God, that silly human is sticking his plug into Harry's socket. He's in pain. The noises. I can't bear the noises. They're going to blow a fuse. Harry's going to combust. Oh, God, someone please unplug me.
Well, that was... yes. Worth waiting for, without question. I feel ridiculously pleased with myself, not to mention thoroughly relaxed. So much so that when Potter takes my hand and leads me back to his bedroom, I go without a murmur. And when he draws my knees up and conjures some rather fine lube, I must remember to get that spell from him later. I just smile lazily and give myself over to his ministrations. I hope he doesn't have to rush back to work. From the glint in his eye, I'd imagine I'm going to need some more toast after this.
See you soon, Draco. Yes, I know that's your name. I heard it. Loudly. It was a real experience meeting you. Thanks for the cleaning. You made a mess of Harry, but he seemed to enjoy it. In fact, you had your own moment with him, didn't you? His smile is really something, eh? He smiles like that at me as well. Well, probably not like that, exactly, but you know what I mean. Call me crazy, but I do hope to see you soon. It has been a bit lonely lately. And I've never seen Harry so, well, let's say, enthusiastic. Yeah, let's go with that. And you can play coy all you want, but that smile on your face, that was real too. We could have something really special here. But hey, what do I know? I'm just a toaster.